And greetings, friends. The unseen world will soon manifest itself. Mysterious powers unknown to most people will soon be fighting for total world domination. Your life will be far more effective than most of you realize. You need to understand. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Merida, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Roderick C. Meredith explains A Tale of Two Churches. And now, Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, what I'm about to reveal to you directly involves Satan the devil. Last week, I described in detail Satan's background and the coming spirit war predicted in your Bible. Remember, Jesus Christ spoke about Satan many times, and Jesus said that Satan has a kingdom. Satan himself has an organized kingdom, a government, in more ways than most of you realize. Satan is a personality. He's not just the idea of evil. He is a spirit personality, a powerful personality. Notice Matthew 12 in your Bible. Please go get a Bible if you have one. Check up on me. Prove these things and what your Bible actually says. Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. Then one was brought to Jesus who was demon-possessed and blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that the blind and mute both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? You see the promised Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, they were always jealous, these other religious leaders, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his, that is Satan's, kingdom stand? Jesus said so. How shall Satan's kingdom stand? Satan has a kingdom. Satan is more powerful than most of us even begin to realize, as I explained last time. And a spirit war is coming within the next 5 to 10 years approximately of your life, and you're going to come to realize the power of the invisible spirit world. And you'd better be on the right side of that world, on God's side, because this world has been deceived by Satan the devil. Notice 2 Corinthians. Turn with me again in your Bible. Check up on me. Prove these things. Prove all things. Be sure what you believe and why you believe them. Turn to 2 Corinthians in your Bible, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 3. Paul wrote, but even if our gospel is veiled, you see, sort of covered over so people don't get it, it is veiled to those who are perishing. They're not perished, but they are perishing. They're cut off. They're going the wrong way. Whose minds the God of this age, yes, Satan is the God of all, God is the God of all the ages, but Satan is the God of this world, the God of this society, and the God of this age. In this case, he uses a different Greek word from cosmos. He uses eon, meaning this age, this particular period of time. God has allowed Satan to be the invisible God over the society of this world for approximately the last 6,000 years. And that 6,000 years is coming to an end very soon now, and these tremendous events are going to happen that will affect your daily lives. Yes, they will. And it's going to be a very exciting time, but a very traumatic time, and a very meaningful time, and you need to understand what's going on. Notice, Satan has blinded these people. The God of this age has blinded those. Yes, they're blinded. The vast majority of human beings have been blinded, so that they do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan has blinded them. And so then we turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 11. He says, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. You see, the true people of God, Paul was protective of them. For I have betrothed you to one husband. The church is the affianced bride of Christ, and is described that way back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Read that whole passage in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. We're to be spiritually pure, and we're to be faithful to our husband, Jesus Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, and Satan is very clever, he appeared to Eve in the form of a snake, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. People get all kinds of ideas about religion today, and they're not willing to just do what Christ said. Christ taught the way of life in the Sermon on the Mount. Read Matthew chapter 5 sometime and see what Christ taught. But if he who comes preaches another Jesus, they preach about just a sentimental idea of just believing in some Christ that's kind of ethereal and way off, and they don't even understand who he is. They don't understand that he came teaching God's commandments. He taught a way of life. He lived that way of life, setting us an example. They're not taught all that. They're taught a different Jesus, another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, a different attitude, which you have not received, or a different gospel. If a different gospel comes along, which you have not accepted, you see, not yet, you may well put up with it. The Corinthians were emotional people, as we read the whole book and see that. They were swayed this way and that, and you say, you may even put up with these things if you're given a different idea about religion. Be careful. Prove the truth. Notice now in verse 13, for such are false apostles. He'd been describing these men that come with a different gospel, another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible. Think about that, my friends. There are different ways people explain Christ. And some of them are talking about not the Christ of the Bible, but another Jesus. Another Jesus, not the true Jesus. And so he says, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Satan comes, he has all kinds of beautiful things, and he looks good, and has all kinds of beautiful music, and so on. Some of his churches have great big ceremonies and all kinds of stuff. It looks good, but is the truth taught? The truth will make you free, not all kinds of liturgy and not all kinds of music. Not that music is bad, but Satan uses these things for the wrong purpose. And so he comes as an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his, that is Satan's, ministers also transform themselves. They come to appear as the ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to the very thing they teach against, most of them, works. They say you don't need works, just believe, just get sentimental about the name of Jesus, the person of Christ. Don't try to do what he said. Don't do what he said. He said to the young man who came in Matthew 19, verse 17, what is the way to eternal life? And Jesus said, if you would enter into life, keep the commandments. And he began to name some of the 10 commandments all the way through his teaching. They're taught about a different Christ. Picture all the hundreds of different churches out there, my friends, in our society. Are they all preaching the truth? They can't all be preaching the truth. They're preaching different things, as you know. Are they all really God's churches? Think. Turn to Revelation 17 now, and here you find described a great big false church, a rich and powerful church. Revelation chapter 17, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, which contained the seven last plagues, of course, came and talked with me, saying, come and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot, or the great whore, as it is in the King James Version. I'm reading the New King James. The great harlot who sits on many waters. What are these waters this great whore sits on? Turn to verse 15. He said, the waters which you saw where the whore sits are peoples, multitudes, great huge masses following this, nations, different nations, speaking different languages. This great whore sits on that kind of multitude. So I would show you the judgment of this whore, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The true church is to come out of this world and be different. A small, obedient, persecuted church. But this church is heavily involved in wars and politics and machinations of power. She gets into spiritual fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They become spiritually drunk. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, had the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, this coming beast of Revelation. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, the color of royalty and the color of harlotry, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, a very rich woman, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Many harlot daughters came out of this particular organization, this false woman. And of course, a woman is portrayed throughout the Bible as a church. At this point, my friends, I invite you to write for one of our most fascinating booklets, a tremendously helpful booklet, richly illustrated, filled with history, things you can prove. It's entitled God's Church Through the Ages. God's Church Through the Ages. This booklet will be sent absolutely free upon your request. This booklet, God's Church Through the Ages, will describe the history of the true Church of God down through the ages and give its identifying signs. As the end of this age approaches, you need to be sure where you really ought to be worshiping. So write us or call us today and request your free copy of this very enlightening and fascinating booklet, God's Church Through the Ages. Just ask for the booklet on God's Church. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic, my friends, A Tale of Two Churches. Notice Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount, in fact, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, Jesus said, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in by it. Yes, the many go in the wrong way in this age, because as we've explained, Satan is the invisible god of this age. And God is allowing people to go their own way with their own ideas of religion. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And few there are who find it. That's what Jesus said. Yet most people think, well, the big church, the big group, wherever it is, that's the best. That's not what your Bible says, frankly. I know the world is taught differently. They think the majority is always right. Well, that's not necessarily true. Turn to Luke chapter 12. By the way, if you think the majority is right, then you'd better realize that the vast majority of all human beings in all ages for the past 6,000 years of recorded history have not been Christian. And even since Christ came, they have not been Christian. The vast majority have been these other religions out there, pagan religions or no religion at all. Think about it. Turn to Luke chapter 12 now in verse 32. He's talking to his own disciples here. Luke 12, verse 32. He says here, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. he called his followers the little flock. They were the small church, the little flock, not the great big majority group of people. Now, near the end of the apostolic age, the apostle John, who was Jesus' favorite special friend, as you know, who leaned on his bosom that last night at the Passover, John kept on living, clear on up. The others had all been martyred, but God allowed John to keep on living, and he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, which are powerful, wonderful books to tell us how to serve God and obey God. But in 3rd John, he indicates carefully, yes, but the beginning of the great apostasy, and showed what happened to the true believers. Notice, 3rd John, verse 9. He says, I wrote to the church. Yes, there was a church. He wrote to it. But Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, here this man had risen up and apparently taken over the church, and yet Jesus' own special apostle was not able to prevail. This man had taken over, because Diotrephes loves to have preeminence, and he does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, this Diotrephes, talking against God's apostle, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren. There were true brethren, and this man in charge of the church did not receive them. And forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. He puts them out. He says, Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. But he who does good is of God. He who practices good is of God. But he who practices evil has not seen God. He's writing here. And that's true. They do not know God. This great apostasy got underway, and true Christians were put out of the professing Christian church. History shows that all the way through. Turn to Revelation chapter 12 now. A great sign appeared in heaven, and here he sees this woman, ancient Israel, being in child, bringing forth the Messiah, as we explained in the last program. And of course, ancient Israel then, verse 5, bore a male child, Jesus the Christ, who was to rule all nations. Christ was called to be a king. And her child was caught up to God at his throne. It skips ahead, of course, many years to the time Christ was caught up. A big overview here. Then, verse 6, the woman, this was a number of years later, fled into the wilderness. His original apostles did not have to flee, but later they did. The woman, the true church, did not become the majority church during the Dark Ages, correctly named Dark Ages by many historians, fled into the wilderness, where she has a place, not up in heaven, but wilderness of this earth, a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Then war broke out in heaven, coming down to the time of the end, as we explained last time, this heavenly war where Satan once more tries to throw God off his throne, and he and his demons are cast back down to the earth. And the dragon was cast out, verse 9, the serpent of old, called devil the Satan, and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Is the world deceived? Well, God says so. Satan deceives the whole world. As I asked last time, are you in the world? I think you are. Most people are deceived, my friends. Let's not kid ourselves. Satan has deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels or demons were cast out with him. And then I heard a voice saying, Now is salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. So Satan has been cast down. He's the one who's been accusing God's people, stirring up others against them to persecute the true church of God, which had to flee during the Dark Ages, flee to a place of safety. And so they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They believed in Christ and his shed blood, and by the Word they believed in the Bible. And they did not love their lives to death. Some of them were terribly persecuted as they died. Therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the heavens of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down, having great wrath, because he knows that he has just a short time. When the devil comes down at the very end, a few years from now, as I explained last time, perhaps within the next 5 to 10 years approximately, he's going to have great wrath, and all kinds of unusual, terrible things are going to begin to happen that will affect your life in a way beyond what you even begin to understand now. Strange apparitions, false miracles, and terrible tortures, and unusual perverted type of behavior among people who will be going insane and doing strange, weird, demonic things as Satan comes down again to destroy humanity and especially to persecute the true church, the woman who had to flee into the wilderness during the Dark Ages. He knows he has just a short time. Now, when the dragon saw he'd been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. And certainly this is the true church of God. He persecuted her who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, this true church, and that she might fly into the wilderness. The heaven is never called wilderness. The heaven of God's throne is magnificently beautiful. But she has to flee to a place on this earth. This is the second flight now, my friends. The first flight was over 1,260 years, way back during the Dark Ages. Now the woman has to flee again at the end of the age when Satan is cast down, and she flees into the wilderness into her place. God has a place of safety for His true church on this earth, not up in heaven, where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Many of you who studied the Bible know that's mentioned three or four times here in these verses of Revelation. A time, times, and half a time. 3.5 years of the great tribulation. It's during that time the true people of God flee to a place of safety on this earth. And only those flee who understand, who are guided by God and His Spirit. The church is taken to a place of safety, those from this horrible tribulation and the persecution and the awfulness and the war that's going to be poured out by Satan through human instruments. So the serpent, Satan, spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman that she might cause her to be carried away. He might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Now back in Daniel 9 and verse 26, a flood is described as a flood of armies. Same thing back in Isaiah 59:19. This is a whole flood of armies, apparently. But the earth helped the woman, opened its mouth, swallowed up the flood, which the dragon, Satan, cast out. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. Here at the very time of the end, the dragon is enraged with the true church of God. He's wanting to destroy her, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring here at the very end of the age. Who are these people? The true church of God that's protected by God in a place of safety. Are those who just have an empty faith and they just believe and clap hands and just acknowledge Christ? No. It's the woman, the offspring, who keep the commandments of God, not some new commandments of Jesus. Certainly they keep those too, but let's make sure what commandments we're talking about. The commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. No, they're not Jews. They have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Again, be sure to write us or call us and request one of our most fascinating booklets entitled God's Church Through the Ages. This booklet will describe the history of the true church of God down through the ages and give its identifying signs. As the end of this age approaches, my friends, you need to be sure where you really ought to be worshiping. Call now and request this free booklet sent absolutely free upon your request, God's Church Through the Ages. Just ask for the booklet on God's Church. That's all you need. Call now before you forget.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Finally, my friends, please turn with me to the book of James. The book of James in your Bible, James chapter 1, and I want to begin in verse 21. Verse 21, James writes in the Word of God, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness." Learn to receive God's Word with meekness, the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. Yes, Christ will save you, but His Word is part of that process that you've got to study and understand and obey the Word of God. Jesus said, man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's Luke 4, verse 4. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. No, don't just be hearers. You've heard what I've said. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit there and keep living the same way of life? Do people want to attend the church of your choice or the church of God's choice? What do you want to do? Do you want to prove things? You're near the end of an age. Do you want to have God's protection? Think. Think with the mind that God has given you. Be willing to have the courage to act on the truth. Don't be hearers, but doers of the Word. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. All of us realize we made terrible mistakes. We've got to change. We've got to do what God says. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, God's commandments are not a bondage. They're a way of life, a way of liberty to keep us free from the wrong way and give us God's blessing and protection. If you look into the law of liberty and continues in it, this faithful man, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Oh, you're to do. A doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. My friend, you need to prove and then to act on God's truth. God help you to understand. God help you to act. And I encourage every one of you to tune in every single week to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you'll gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, and I will give you understanding, real understanding of what's going on, what it means, and the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.